Hey, welcome to Night School, and it is officially school season now. Because school, it's either in season or it's not, but nobody says school season. They say football season, but you don't ever hear anybody say school season. School started. It's the school year. That's the weird thing about it, actually, is that people say the school year, even though it doesn't span a year. So it's like there's this like eight or nine month year within the year that is called the school year. Like school has its own system for determining what's a year and what's not. I think season is more appropriate. School season. And it's a long season, but it's still a season. Because season, you know, that doesn't really, year isn't really appropriate. Season is much more appropriate. Speaking of appropriate, we're doing an episode here on psychic phenomena, which really kind of gets indirectly dealt with in just about every episode I do. I don't know that I've done one on psychic phenomena itself, though. And I think a lot of what gets called psychic phenomena is just a finely tuned intuition. And I think some people's intuitions, both just through a natural ability as well as the fact that they kind of do things to engage their brain in a certain way, I think that combination of things, along with probably a million other factors we can't understand, do actually give someone just this ability to detect things and to pick up on things and make connections to the point where it almost seems like they do know something just through some sort of weird supernatural ability, through some weird mutant talent. That's kind of what it is anyway, a mutant talent. And I know that as a self-professed psychic, now I honestly don't consider myself psychic in the sense that I can read people's minds, but I have had an almost paralyzing ability to pick up on things before they happen, to see almost, it's like you can almost see the groove that's running in a situation or something like that before it really takes, before the momentum, I don't know, it's hard to really put it into words, but it's like you can basically see where things are headed based on a number of factors, and you're not sitting there analyzing them thinking, oh, because this person is interacting with this person in this way, and the scenario around them is unfolding in this way, that this is going to happen. It's something your brain just kind of naturally pieces together. But I think if you're interested in the outcome of things, if you're, there are certain things I definitely do to kind of keep myself wired in that way. Not like I do exercises to improve my psychic ability, but I definitely, I think just my field of interest being what they are play into it, and just the way that I believe, the way I believe. But really, it does just feel often like just a very deep intuition. And, you know, I think psychic phenomena gets a bad rap because of the manipulative aspects of it. And it's one of those things where if you even mention the words psychic phenomena, someone will immediately, they're ready. Their gun is already cocked and they're ready to just shut that down. It's very similar to the pro wrestling atheism idea that I always talk about, where people are just ready to say, it's fake. It's fake. And I understand that. I understand people who want to call psychic phenomena fake when it's used in a manipulative way, or when it's a blatant misrepresentation of what's actually going on. Like, I remember my friend and I think we were in sixth or seventh grade around that period, we used to prank call the psychic hotline. Which is the true party line. You know, remember those commercials that were all about, they were like, we have like single ladies live waiting to talk to you. You know, I believe that was called the party line. Well, I believe the true party line is the psychic hotline. And if you look at online advertisements, if you've ever checked your horoscope or anything like that, you've probably seen the ads, live ads, which is a funny concept, a live ad. But they have these ads that are like a live image of these psychics sitting in their offices or rooms waiting to talk to you, and it's a webcam stream because you can get online and talk to a psychic through webcam. The party line. But my friend and I, we used to prank call the psychic hotline. The infomercials would be on TV. It would be stuff like Miss Cleo, those sorts of psychics. And you would first call a free number. You'd call an 800 number where you'd talk to somebody who's just paid to sit there and field the initial calls. And they would ask you this basic questionnaire. They would just go through some simple questions like, how's your day going? And basically what I learned was they were kind of trying to determine your mood and to collect as much information as they could, which I assume they would then give to the actual psychic. And I wonder about that. I wonder if Miss Cleo talked to everybody, or I wonder if like there were other psychics who worked under the Miss Cleo umbrella. The Miss Cleo umbrella. It's a very colorful umbrella. But I wonder if they must have. I mean, that must have been how it worked. Or they just had a lot of women who sounded like Miss Cleo who pretended to be her. Or maybe she was just working around the clock. I don't know. But anyway, the agents would answer the 800 number calls and ask you these questions. And I figured that, yeah, the asking you how your day is, even something as simple as that, it's not like they were asking like a detailed background on who you were or anything like that, but they asked you some general questions. And I feel like mood is a huge factor. Like if you determine that somebody's day was shitty and you're a psychic looking to make a buck off of them, you could use that to your advantage based on how you answer questions and keep them on the line or tell them certain things. But we used to prank call just the 800 number agents, and we didn't say anything. We weren't vicious, you know. what do they call it? We weren't the jerky boys about it, but we would just fuck with them. And we never actually made it through to that. We never tried to call the pay number, the pay party line, the paid party psychic hotline, because we didn't want to pay. So I assume, you know, that's that manipulative aspect, and people are, when they hear psychic phenomena, they immediately think of that bottom of the barrel element that's manipulative. It's trying to make money. But that said, you know, anytime the term psychic is mentioned, not even in reference to a person, but just the idea of psychic activity or psychic phenomena, someone is very quick to, you know, just throw it on the ground and stomp on it. When really there's a lot of psychic phenomena going around that is a lot more subtle. And like everything, I use the word psychic as sort of a placeholder word. I'm married to the idea of psychic activity. I'm married to it. No, I'm not married to the idea of psychic activity in that ESP sense where it's like you can read minds. But I believe that what we call psychic phenomena is some sort of process we can't understand. It's seemingly supernatural at times, but it's something we don't have words for. Maybe we never will. We don't have a process for understanding it, because humans through each stage of our evolution don't have a way to explain everything. And maybe the scientific process will explain it, what's happening. But even then, as I often say, you know, this, just because the psychic or the psychic process, just because the scientific process can explain what's happening, that doesn't always explain why, and often never does. I mean, very rarely does science give us true answers. It just says this is happening because of this, so that it can aid in our evolution. This, we do this because of this. And that ends up being a circle. You know, you just end up in this circle where A does B because, I don't know, I don't have a good way of explaining that. But I see psychic phenomena as a placeholder term for something we can't explain in other words at this point. There's a certain amount of, you know, randomness to things. There's a certain amount of statistical probability that it can explain things like synchronicity, or just the ability to guess things about somebody or to pick up on cues in a way, a very subtle way that almost seems like you're reading a mind or you're just picking up on something that nobody has told you. But I think a lot of it really is just this finely tuned mutant intuition that some people have more of an ability to use. And I think people too, like when you think about somebody who's like a a phone psychic or now a webcam psychic, they probably are somebody who is good at picking up on cues and processing things very quickly, and not through some formula that they learned, but just through some sort of just natural ability, which is why they decided to make a buck off of that. And if you've ever seen those live ads, I like just saying that term, a live ad, because it feels really futuristic. The idea of like a live advertisement with somebody who's like in a place doing something as you're seeing it. But those people, they look the part. They look very new agey. If it's a guy, if it's like a middle-aged guy, he'll be in like a shirt unbuttoned with some sort of like pendant around his neck. You can see their room, their home office. Usually there's some sort of like wall flag or something hanging on the wall with symbols on it. Art that you would expect in an online psychic to have. But those people probably do have a natural talent. You know, it might not be an actual ability to read minds and tell someone something that they otherwise have never told anybody. Or that they wouldn't know, but they probably do have a natural ability to pick things up and process things quickly and make really good guesses about what's going on in people's lives or, you know, things from their past. Because we give off a lot of information. As individuals, we give off a lot of information about ourselves between what we say, in the cracks between what we actually express explicitly. We do give people a lot of information. It might not be something like, my mother died in a sledding accident 10 years ago. We might not be giving that off in that space in between, but we might be giving off other things that could lead somebody to intuit a number of other things. I mean, they could ultimately intuit something that specific, but I think that's more difficult and more the result of guesswork. But that guesswork might come from a place. So I don't think we should necessarily dismiss. It's kind of in the same way. I love using pro wrestling as an example because it's in the same way that these guys are doing something that hurts them and that is aggressive and requires athletic ability. And, you know, they do hit each other. They do slam each other on the mat. It's just that the premise of it is fake, but there's actually something happening. And I think you can't lose sight of that when you're talking about anything that that you otherwise would be skeptical of. You have to look at what actually is happening when you strip, you know, when you strip the words pro wrestling off of that and you just say this is, and you just look at it for what it is. You know, you might see it differently. And I think it's the same thing for psychic phenomena, where if you strip away that connotation, you'll see something very different than you would otherwise if you were just like, oh, it's just another psychic, manipulating someone for a buck. No, it's someone who has a natural ability doing something. But there are a lot of people with quote-unquote psychic abilities in pretty much every path in life. You know, it's like someone who's really good at business has that same ability and they apply it to that. That's the thing, is you can apply that sort of intuition, that finely tuned intuitive sense, to pretty much anything you do and it will aid you. You can use it to make better business decisions. If you're a manager, it can really help you in dealing with personnel, making personnel decisions. Personnel decisions, some psychic personnel decisions. And when I say intuition too, it's hard to really, that's another word that, like, it's a little more acceptable. It's a little more acceptable to call something intuition, but then you hear the term psychic intuition. But I think that intuition is often the result of reading a situation really well, very quickly, and being able to process that information and apply it to both things that could potentially happen, things that have already happened, things that are happening right now. I think it really ultimately comes down to an ability to pick up on subtle information and process it and apply it. And it's almost like your brain is naturally doing an equation. And I don't think that you can teach that. I don't think there's an actual mathematical equation for having that sort of highly tuned psychic intuition, for lack of a better term. Once again, it's a placeholder. But it is something that people can apply and use for positive, to a positive end. I mean, you can use it to understand people, and it's almost a form of empathy, really. If you can understand like where someone is coming from, you can pick up on subtle things about the way someone is feeling or what they're thinking or what they will think that you otherwise wouldn't. And you can use that to be a more empathetic person, to understand them, or you can be manipulative. And just like with the psychic hotline, that person can be, manipulative, or they can just, be just a pleasant person to talk to. Because that's why you call the psychic hotline. You just want to talk to somebody. But somebody can do that in a professional environment. They can use that sort of highly tuned intuitive ability. And there's a little trademark after I say that now. But they can use that in a manipulative way. They can be a bad fucking boss who uses it to be an asshole, uses it to make more money, uses it to fuck someone over. Or they can use it to just be a decent person. And they can do that in their everyday life. You think about the sort of person that you go to, a friend or a family member who gives you really good advice, who seems to understand things very well. In my opinion, that person is using the same sort of process. Whether they know it or not, they are using the same sort of process that someone would use to try to make a buck off someone. It just depends on how you use it. And the word intuition, though, because you hear intuition and some people are skeptical of that. You know, it's like, oh, I thought about taking the left path, but something just told me to take the right path. And I don't know. I get that all the time. I get that feeling all the time. I don't read people's minds. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do get this weird sense of like, I should go that way, or I should wait this long to do this. I don't know what that is, and I don't know if it really makes any difference. I mean, sometimes it's something as simple as I'm running on a trail, and there's a fork in the trail. And even if I've run that trail many times and taken both forks, sometimes I just feel some sort of, I don't want to call it a presence, but maybe some form of energy. some form of energy that just kind of tells me, take the left path. And of course, not the left-handed path, but no, it'll tell me to take a certain, path at a fork, something just as simple as that. And I get this weird superstitious feeling where I feel like if I don't take that path that my intuition is telling me to take, something bad will happen. Like if I take the right path instead of the left path, there is this weird, I don't know what it is. It's almost like when you have a guilty conscience or something like that. I feel like if I take that right path, something bad could happen. And I have actually gone against my intuition when doing something as simple as taking a left or right path. And I have actually had something bad happen. So, and I'm not saying that it proves anything. I'm just saying that, when you do that, you're like, damn, maybe it was taking that wrong path. And what could possibly explain that beyond some sort of disorder or, psychiatric diagnosis? What could explain that feeling of I should go this way instead of that way? And you'll hear people cite that in near-death experiences, TV shows, where people will talk about something just telling them to do something. And when I'm running a trail, there's really no conceivable reason. But I think sometimes when you do get that intuition not to go a certain direction, not to do something, I think it does come from like you're reading a situation. Because if it's a public situation, sometimes you do pick up on cues from people or just the situation around you. It's almost like someone who goes into a mall and they just something feels wrong and they decide to leave, and then that mall gets shot up or something, the elevator, they get out of the elevator right before it crashes because they felt something was wrong. And maybe they were picking up on something, some very subtle nuance to the situation. Maybe there was just some, say it's an elevator and they got out just in time. Maybe there was just some little buzz, a little buzz coming from the elevator that just sounded wrong and they didn't consciously think of it, but they kind of picked up on it. I don't know. It could be something as simple as that. Because I don't think these things necessarily have an explanation for or against them. I think we have reason to criticize people who try to arrogantly say that these things are real and define them, you know, we have reason to be skeptical of those people. I think that's really where I'm coming from. I'm very skeptical of people who try to define this stuff very specifically, especially in a way that's self-serving, or they try to say this is the way it is and this is how it works. That to me is the same as the person who says this isn't real and this is how it works. Both times people just seem to have this arrogance, this hubris to what they're saying. And for me, it's just there's an interesting thing that goes on. And that's another aspect to it, too, is that people tend to put themselves in the middle of it, or at least that's what people see. People hear about psychic phenomena and they immediately associate it with individuals or groups, but generally individuals who are claiming to have some ability. There's a grandiosity to it, which I think is why people want to challenge it. But really, I think of psychic phenomena as something well beyond anybody as an individual. The things that I would call psychic phenomena are things that occur on a much larger scale, and it's almost like we tap into them. And there's no element of ego. There's no element of somebody having a power. To me, those things are just there. It's the collective unconscious. It's being able to tap into that collective unconscious. And I do think that in the same way that some people are better at one thing or another, someone's a better athlete, someone's a better musician, I do think some people have that. Some people are better talkers. I think some people do have that ability to tap into that collective unconscious. And even on a just person-to-person basis, use it in some way. And I think that's kind of where a lot of religious ideas, a lot of spiritual ideas tie into this. I think that psychic phenomena are often, in a religious context, thought of as a sign from God, or it's a sign that somebody has a particularly close relationship to God. You see that a lot. I mean, that's often, in my opinion, how cults develop, in my opinion. How dare I talk outside of my opinion about cults? But I think a lot of cults develop because the leader is somebody who's very intuitive. They have that sort of psychic ability. They have a very fine-tuned psychic ability, psychic intuition. And because of that, they're able to tell people certain things. They're able to give people a certain reality, really. You give them a certain perspective on reality that they want to hear or that otherwise draws them in. And that's not inherently bad. That's the thing, too, is the word cult, like the word psychic, is viewed as inherently bad. And here I am defending cults. But I don't think the idea of a cult is necessarily horrible. I mean, inevitably, most cults end up with some sort of sexual abuse, some form of financial thievery. You know, I mean, they're often associated with the same fucking things happening, and they're all bad. But I don't think the idea of a bunch of people following a guy and isolating themselves within that group has to be bad. It just so happens that when you do that, bad things generally happen because it's a fucking guy. It's a fucking guy calling the shots. You expect him to keep things okay. But maybe there are like a bunch of fucking cults we've never heard of. You know, maybe there's a lot of cults we've never heard of because nothing bad has happened and they just go about their lives. Oh, it's a group. It's a group of people living a certain way with a certain, you know, bunch of thoughts. You know, there can be positive cults, man. Positive cults. But that requires a level of self-awareness and conscientiousness that just seems to get lost. That's what seems to get lost in all of this, is this level of conscientiousness and self-awareness where people just, they're, because I think they want to lose themselves. I think people want to lose themselves in situations, and it just, that's what inevitably paves the road towards the manipulation and abuse. And in with psychic phenomena as well, it's somebody who calls the psychic hotline. They're going down a path where they are opening themselves up to, you know, manipulation, but just also losing sight of who they are, and they're losing their footing, and they're giving that footing up to somebody else's whims. Because, you know, somebody who calls a psychic hotline to begin with isn't going to be somebody who is heavily skeptical of it. And if they are, that's just somebody who goes into that with a heavily skeptical mind just isn't going to open themselves up to, you know, certain possibilities. It's, if you go into anything with a skeptical mind, if you go to a sports game and you say, I hate sports, I'm going to this fucking sports game. I'm going to this fucking sports game and it's school season, therefore football season, and I'm going to this fucking sports game and I hate sports. Chances are you're not going to enjoy the game. It's very rare that somebody who's just, I fucking hate football. It's rare that that person goes and they're like, they suddenly get into the game. Although that does happen. Some people, they have this horrible attitude about something and then they go and they actually see why people get into it and they feel that energy and they start cheering and next thing you know, they're I'm the biggest fucking football fan you ever met. Biggest fan you ever met. Next thing you know, that's them. I doubt that happens as much with psychic phenomena. I don't know that it has the same draw as going to a professional sports game. But I think the type of person who generally calls that hotline, if they're not just coming from this place of I'm the skeptical investigator, if that's not them, if they're calling that hotline, they're already so open to it that they will get kind of sucked in. And it's the same thing for cults, really. It's the same thing for anything like that, where if they're going down that path, they have already opened themselves up for not just the positive, but also the potential negatives. And it's really a matter of sheer luck whether the positive outweighs the negative. But you think about just your friends and the person who is able to understand kind of where you're coming from more, or, you know, just who you are, and they give you better advice. I think that person is a form of psychic, really. I think that ability to pick up on things. Whether they land one way or another on the Myers-Briggs, which I don't even know. I don't know if that people are still into that. I remember years ago, people were like, I'm an INFJ. I'm an INFJ. As if that means anything, you know. But I don't know if people who have that ability fall somewhere on a cycle. You know, I don't know if they fall somewhere or another on the psychological continuum. But I do think some people just naturally have that ability. And in the same way that I was saying, like some people use that to a certain end professionally, people do it personally too. And I know for me, you know, as someone, here I am being a self-proclaimed psychic, but really, like, I am someone who I feel like. How's that for a profound statement? But I do feel as if I'm someone who has a naturally intuitive ability to pick up on things, to kind of guess what's going to happen, or just feel things. And it's as much a curse as it is a blessing, you know, because I have this feeling where I don't want to do things. Like sometimes I don't want to go to a certain party or be privy to something because I kind of know how it's going to play out. And it's nothing, like I'm not saying it's going to end up with some grand, you know, scene. You know, it's not like I'm talking about, oh, I don't want to go to that party because I know Jesus is going to come down from the sky and talk to everybody. It's not like that, but it's like, oh, I know those people are going to do this. I know that that person's going to react this way to that person. I know that there's going to be a conflict over this. And that's not even a good example. But you just kind of see how things are going to play out, and it makes you not want to participate in that process because you get this sickening feeling. You get this just horrible feeling in your gut, and it's a weird form of guilt, not because you feel like you caused it to happen, but it's almost like skipping ahead. I don't know. I don't know that it's like that, but sometimes it can feel like you're skipping ahead a little bit in a movie. And everybody else is watching it, and you know what's going to happen, and you're not ruining it for anybody, but just the fact that you're not experiencing things the same way that everyone else watching the movie is makes you just feel kind of sick. Even if you tell them, you know, if you tell them, oh, I already know what's going to happen, and you're just sitting there, and they're reacting as if they're seeing it for the first time, but you're not, you know, you feel like you're on a different page from other people, and you know, it's really a lose-lose situation. I've already seen it. But, you know, it's not like you have spoilers for life or anything like that, you know. See, no spoilers. We don't want spoilers for life. But sometimes it does feel that way, and it's never anything that profound. It's not like you figured something out that's that profound. Usually it's some minor detail about a person or people or an unimportant situation. Because that's the thing, too. Oftentimes, when we hear psychic phenomena, we tend to associate it with something. Oh, it obviously relates to something profound, and you know, death is often correlated with that, like psychic mediums, people who are able to channel dead people. It's always this very grandiose idea of, oh, psychic activity. Oh, it's obviously dealing with something very important, very profound. And this is kind of true for any kind of supernatural idea. There's always this idea that when you hear about it, it's dealing with something very large and important. But that's often not the case. I think a lot of so-called psychic activity is actually the opposite. It's really it's base. It's coming from a very simple, even boring place. That's once again a matter of perspective. It's a matter of looking at it and taking away the word itself. You got to take away the word psychic phenomena, the phrase psychic phenomena, I think, in order to understand what it actually is. And what it is nothing that big, nothing that important. It's just kind of there.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children